Hello, and welcome to another podcast from HPS. In this exclusive episode with our partners iComplied, I had the pleasure in catching up with long-term business acquaintance Jackie Stapleton. Jackie is a Brisbane-based auditor and director of an online training organisation, Auditor Training Online. I asked Jackie to comment on the introduction of the new work health safety standard, ISO 45001, and what this means to WHS managers and to organisations. Jackie, why do you think there's been a need for a new OHS standard around kind of WHS? And what do you think the reaction's been from industry?
Well, I think it's well overdue, ISO 45001, because as we know, if we look at ASNZS, our Australian standard, 4801, it's a 2001 revision, so it's 17 years old. It doesn't go into a great lot of detail in comparison to what we now have is with 45001. We did have 18001 though, the British standard. So I always sort of refer to that as the quasi-international standard as well. But really, yeah, 45001 is well overdue. It's an international standard. So it aligns nicely with our other management system standards like 9001 and 14001. So it makes it much easier for organisations to integrate their systems, have like common terms and definitions as well as a common structure. So that's why we need one. It's well overdue.
Yeah, and I agree. And I think, you know, Jackie, we speak to a lot of, similar contacts in the industry, and you're right that there's been a call for a long time for a truly global ISO standard. And of course, that's the one thing about the previous standards or national requirements is there haven't actually been official ISO standards.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's been, Jackie, on and off, and now it's finally been published. How do you see it relating to existing OHS and WHS regulations and industry compliance requirements, maybe at a state or federal level? Is this something that gets integrated? Does this replace? What's your reading at the moment?
No, I think maybe integrated is the right word, but really ISO 45001 has within it a clause 613, and that's determination of legal requirements and other requirements. So that means that organisations, to meet that clause requirements, they need to determine, have access to any legal requirements that are applicable to what they do, and then they've got to figure out how they actually apply to what they do, to their activities, to their products, to their services. So within the standard itself, there is a requirement to understand what these OHS, WHS regulations are, whether it's your local council permit, state, federal, even international may apply to some organisations. And that's just the clause itself. I think throughout 45001, there's references throughout, I think, 50 times or more to understanding what your legal requirements are. So I think it's well embedded within the standard to ensure that organisations do have an understanding of how it applies to what they actually do. Of course, it doesn't mean that they're automatically going to be compliant with legislation. There's no guarantee, but it gives them the framework to help them to build a system to give it their best shot.
Brilliant. That's going to be an obvious question from a lot of WHS managers, especially in kind of disability, aged care, government sectors, where they have to meet, already quite stringent, and in some areas, obviously very stringent requirements. But as you say, they tend to be at a very, point-specific level, whereas by the sounds of it, Jackie, 45001 is at this higher management level, and maybe therein lies the difference between management systems versus individual compliance requirements.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Jackie, which businesses will be impacted by this introduction of the new standard? Everyone, only some?
No, I suppose initially my first thought is that businesses that are already certified to either 4801 and or 18001, some of my clients are certified to both, but generally 4801 more in the sort of the Australian context, I suppose they'll be directly affected. They'll have to look at commencing their transition process or understanding what is the difference with 45001. And something else I suppose that comes to mind is our certification bodies. They need to get their heads around what this means to them and what the transition process is and sort of get certification auditors up to speed with what the requirements are.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, they're the two that sort of stand out to me first off. Yeah.
Jackie, that leads, I guess, to the obvious question is in terms of time frame for the new standard. Obviously, you know, certification bodies, training organizations like yourselves are starting to, you know, provide content and educating the market. In terms of the organizations wanting to implement 45001, which I think it's important, Jackie, isn't it, to stress, is a brand new standard. It's not an upgrade of any existing standard. Yeah. What's the time frame for implementation?
Yeah, and I'll go back because I think that's a really good point that you made, Ed, is that it is a totally new standard. So it is being treated as a completely separate competency requirement to 4801. And you're absolutely right. There is no upgrade for that either, like there was for 9001 and 14001. So it is being treated completely separate. But to go back to your time frame question, I know 18001, so it's already been confirmed that there is a 3-year transition period for organisations to transition from 18001. That's been confirmed. Now, it hasn't been formally announced. However, I am confident that the same will apply for transition from 4801.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So companies have got a couple of years to do this, mm-hmm. but probably the learning, especially Jackie, if we look at how companies have left compliance to 9000, well, the latest edition of 9001, till the very last minute, that probably this is something that they need to get their head around sooner rather than later. And
absolutely,
again, I'll take you back to your earlier comment. I think certainly for listeners that there's a move, not maybe a global move, but there's certainly a move here in Australia towards more integrated management systems, you know, quality, environmental risk, WHS, mm-hmm. kind of being seen as the one management system with various components.
Yeah.
And that's quite a big headspace, I guess, for companies to get their head around, but it has a lot of advantage. So you want to start that process now. Any kind of comment on that, Jackie? Maybe you want to expand a bit on that?
Yeah, so I totally agree, and I think that's the I suppose the positive, the benefit of 45001 following that same structure. So, first thing I can think of is if organisations already are certified to say 9001 and 14001, they're going to find a lot of common elements. All right, so that's the first thing they need to understand. So what's common essentially, and off the top of my head, internal audits, management review, objectives, policies, context, and while each standard has its own unique element within those clauses, it's still the process that an organisation will use will be the same. So it's important for them to understand what's common, and then of course that will identify the gaps, and that should be the unique elements. So for 45001, the unique elements might be your hazard identification, participation and consultation, eliminating hazards, so putting controls in place, emergency response. So then they've sort of just got to plug the holes, so to speak, and develop those unique elements that fit in nicely with 45001. But I'm a big believer in always looking at what you're already doing. So understand what your current processes are, see how it aligns with what the standard requirements are, and sometimes they might just need a little bit of a tweak.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. No, it's, I think some really valuable points and all of that. And that really helps answer my other question, which would, you know, what are the key areas within the standard that management especially need to get their kind of head around now?
Yeah.
But Jackie, in terms of your exposure, because you obviously, you guys train whilst it's online, you know, WHS managers every day from all types of industries. How ready do you think, based on that feedback, are they? What are the things that they need to start? You know, who's going to start this process now? Is it the WHS manager? Who within that organization kicks all this off?
I don't, and I'm only speaking from an Australian context, obviously. There is great interest in 45001, but I think it is off to a bit of a slow start, purely because it is the first ISO standard. It was quite easy with 9001 and 14001 because essentially, you know, we've had ISO standards around for years. So it has taken a bit longer than I even expected, actually. So, but now I know it is getting a foothold and it is getting a lot of support in Australia. So it does look like it will move forward. So in saying that, organisations do have to get their head around 45001 and understand how it does fit into what they currently do and how it does integrate with their current systems if they already have other management systems or they're already certified to 4801. So training might be a good first point of call to understand what those unique elements are and what those common elements are.
Absolutely. Get educated. Yeah. I think it's the order of the day. Yeah. And I think we saw this. I mean, it's one of the downsides of the ISO space from the kind of compliance and certification side of the fence is, you know, people jump into the arguments around the detail of the standard that's coming out, whether it's a revision or a new standard, and slightly lose the business value. And, you know, just as a general point for listeners, the reason why 9001, a lot of these other standards have gone through big revisions is because ISO themselves want to bring standards back to what they really were originally intended for, which is to add competitive advantage to organizations implementing those standards rather than just being, you know, a glossy bit of paper hanging on the reception wall. Well, you know, that's the downside, isn't it, Jackie? And that's why they tend to get a bit of a bad rap, you know, well, why on earth are we bothering, especially, you know, OHS, WHS nowadays, it's like you kind of have to think about the value. And if you get your head around, I guess, Jackie, the way these standards have now been created and written, actually, if you do this, this is a consultative exercise.
Yeah.
These things have real value. And you being certified will demonstrate that you're basically, you're safer, you're better, you're a better work environment, you know, you're a better partner to do business with, et cetera, than the organization down the road who are not certified to the standard. I mean, that's simplistic, but do you maybe got any kind of comment on that?
Yeah, well, from what you're saying, when I conduct audits, because I also am a certification auditor, I was actually conducting an audit last week and talking to the director of the company at the closing meeting. And this is what always, you know, gives me great pleasure with the job that I do. And he was telling me how, say last year when they first implemented their new or transition to new standards, he just did some things in the management review that he knew had to be done. All right. So essentially, as you said, make it glossy, tick a few boxes. But he said to me that in this year's review, he revisited what he did and he actually sat there and he said, I actually realised what I did was quite valuable. And when I read what I wrote last year, he said, well, it was actually quite true what I wrote. I could actually see what had changed in that 12 months. I could actually see, well, okay, did we implement this or did we not implement what we set out to achieve? And he said, I can actually see the value in it. And to me, that's the part I love when I see clients come to that realization that it's not about ticking the box for an auditor or to meet, you know, client requirements. It should actually, your system should be flexible and agile enough to benefit and add value to what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. No, Jackie, that's a great point. And I know you're a real advocate for, you know, for auditors to kind of, you know, take that approach. And I think all of us have got to move away from the checkbox approach to auditing that adds no value, quite frankly, on all sides, whether it's the certification body, the auditor, or quite frankly, the customer, which is the most important thing. But that's probably, you know, I think that's a, a podcast in itself, Jackie.
Yes.
Jackie, I guess the last question, and we've touched on this, not sure whether there's much more to say, is obviously within this new standard, you've said there's been written with a lot of flexibility around how people will be able to incorporate existing compliance issues. Is there a kind of an audit checklist? How do you start getting your head around what 45001 looks like?
Yeah, and I suppose you can call it what you want, an audit checklist or, you know, a gap analysis essentially, a matrix. But essentially, you know, because it is flexible, it does fit into any type of business. And I think that's important with 45001 because it doesn't tell you what it looks like, you know. So that tells you what is expected. However, it could look completely different dependent on the industry or the sector, the size of the business, and actually the types of hazards, so the level of risk within the business. So that means that each organisation has to determine how they're going to implement the requirements or what tools they'll use. So having some sort of checklist or conducting some sort of gap analysis would definitely be beneficial. It helps them to understand and actually drives them to look at what they've already got in their system. As I mentioned earlier, I'm a big believer in that. Don't create something new. Have a look at what you've already got and see whether it just needs to be tweaked to meet the requirements. But definitely an audit checklist, and I suppose you could separate it, an audit checklist that can incorporate both 45001 and possibly specific compliance requirements as well. So, you know, I tend to agree that the internal audit is really about determining the conformance with the management system, whereas separately you have your legal requirements. So I think you have to keep those quite separate because remember I mentioned before that 45001 just gives you the framework to identify and comply, give it your best shot, as I said, against the legal requirements. But certainly a gap analysis or checklist would be very beneficial.
That's fantastic. And obviously that in addition to undertaking some training
and, absolutely.
And at a completely overt pitch for yourself, Jackie, doing that online saves you having to travel off to a classroom or a conference center or something. You can do that from the comfort of your chair. Jackie, thank you very much. That was great actually. And some really good insight. I know you've been close to the development of 45001. So really, I think in summary, what Jackie and I are saying to you is, yes, it's real, despite what you might have heard, you know, 12 months ago. This thing is now out. You've got roughly 3 years to transition. But the key takeaway here is don't wait 3 years, especially because this may be something you want to integrate into your existing, you know, ISO compliance. And by nature of being, you know, work health orientated, there's going to be no doubt very specific workplace regulations that you've already meeting that you've got to, you know, think how you're going to build those into 45,000. So get educated, you know, go on a training course. Jackie and Auto Training Online are one fantastic source for that here in Australia, well, globally, because it's all online, I guess. iComplied, obviously, who are our exclusive partners on this podcast. They offer a innovative new online tool that will allow you to create those checklists and those kind of audit gap approached, maybe to working out where you currently are and you know where you've got to get to meet full compliance. And there are plenty of people out there, you know, other blogs, etc., that will help inform you maybe more specifically to your industry. But I think, as I said, you know, don't leave it late. Jump in and at least start to get yourself educated and talk to Jackie directly. And obviously you can talk to iComplied and you can talk to ourselves at HPS as well. So with that, Jackie, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate that. And
thank you for having me.
That's all right. And we'll look forward to connecting with you, the listener. Thanks very much.
Thank you.